You're listening to Moody Radio 89.3, and this is Mornings with Eric and Bridget.
Well, if life has hit you with something that's just taking the wind out of your sails or the bounce out of your step, you are not alone. So how do we stand firm in our faith when our world is falling apart? We're taking a look at that from a man who knows much about it, the Apostle Paul. And his book of Philippians tells us so much. Robert Morgan has written about that. He's also associate pastor, and he joins us this morning. Robert, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bridget.
You know, you kind of have it's a verse-by-verse study of this book. Why do you think this is such an important study for us in where we are today as we walk through life?
Philippians is a very short book that anybody can read and less than 10 minutes. It's in the middle of the New Testament, but it is full of verses that are very practical. And the key verse is chapter 1, verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day. I don't know. I've gone through ups and downs in my life. Everybody has. And in the world and in our personal experiences, we don't know what today or tomorrow holds, but we do know that whatever happens, we can conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Philippians tells us how to do that.
Yeah, well, we think about even just world events, you know, where they were thinking about wars or instability in nations, even the bridge collapse that happened yesterday. I mean, just things seem to be shifting all around us. But you say we can even view current events from a biblical perspective. What's your encouragement for that?
The Apostle Paul was not in the best place when he wrote the book of Philippians, at least not politically or geographically. He was imprisoned, at least under house arrest, maybe worse. And yet he was full of joy, and he was viewing everything that happened to him as a means of glorifying God. He said in chapter 1, the things that have happened to me have actually turned out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. And I've had, even recently, I had something happen that required my taking a ride sharing to a place because I was having to deal with the difficulty. But in the course of that ride, I was able to lead the young driver to the Lord. Mm-hmm. When negative things happen to us, we need to look around to see whom God is placing in our lives that we can share the gospel with. It happened to Paul, and it happens to us over and over and over again. Nothing is wasted.
We're trapped in the moment, though. How do we extend that out so we're looking outside of the moment and into what the Lord might be doing?
I think one of the best ways is to study this book of Philippians. And I've come up with 31 practical suggestions that come right out of the book for how to deal with life. This is the book that tells us that the one who has begun a good work in us will carry it on to completion. It's the book that tells us to live as Christ, to die as gain. The book that tells us that we should have the mind of Jesus Christ within us, that tells us not to worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, to present our requests to God, and the peace of God will care for us. So all the way through the book of Philippians, we can find, I've got 31 chapters, so one for every day of the month, to help us to look at life through the lens of this wonderful New Testament book.
What are one or two of those suggestions?
Well, one is that we can be revitalized in our emotions by prayer. The Apostle Paul certainly was. When he began praying for the Philippians, he prayed that God would give them sufficient love that would enable them to view things clearly, which would help them to make good decisions, which then in turn would help them to be richer and more blameless in their individual lives. We think of prayer sometimes as a drudgery, but for Paul, it was something that revitalized and renewed him because he was having his regular meeting with the King of Kings. And that was a very exciting one. Another one is to claim the peace of Jesus Christ. He said in the Gospels, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So the same level of peace that Jesus Christ had, even on this Passion Week, as he faced all of the unrolling, unfurling things happening to him in Jerusalem, we can have that same kind of peace. And Philippians 4 tells us all about it. It tells us how to be content, and it tells us that in Jesus Christ, we have all of our needs supplied through the riches of his grace. So a very practical book is Philippians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of talk about Paul almost like he's your friend. I mean, some of the things here that I'm looking at, we can, because he wrote so much and because he's opened so much about the difficulties that he's had, he does talk to us almost like a friend here. And one of the things you say is that he had a life motto, and you suggest that we also adopt something like what Paul did with a life motto. What was his motto, and what do you suggest we adopt?
Well, when I was in college, they asked us for a motto to put under our picture in the yearbook. So I chose the motto, "The will of God, nothing more, nothing less." Hmm. And I've tried to live by that all these years. But Paul's, I think you could say in chapter 1, verse 27, was his life motto, to live as Christ and to die as gain. He was saying, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I think that I'm going to be released and be able to continue my ministry, but I might be executed. But what does it matter? Either one, I win. He said, to live as Christ and to die as gain. And in the original Greek, it's very terse. To live Christos, to die kerdos, is what he said. And for us to find a motto, especially young people, to select a motto, maybe a verse from the scripture, maybe Philippians 1:27, and say, I'm going to live by my life by this motto. That's a very powerful and helpful thing to keep our lives in the right groove and the groove of God's will as we go through our days.
We're talking with Robert J. Morgan, who is author of this book called Whatever Happens, and it's all about how we can stand firm even when everything is shifting around us. So you talk about creating a life motto, but you also talk about creating a mental hymn book of sorts, kind of a playlist of uplifting songs or hymns. So what is your mental hymn book?
Oh, I love this. When Paul and Silas were starting the church in Philippi, to which later he would write this book of Philippians, they were thrown into jail after being beaten, and at midnight they began singing songs. Well, they didn't have the joy of listening to Eric and Bridget in the mornings. They didn't have a hymn book there with them, and they didn't have the walls projected on the words projected on the walls of the prison. They just had these. They had a certain number of hymns and psalms that they already knew memorized, and so they just started singing. And apart from the scripture, there is no body of literature that helps us more, that is richer in its theological and devotional insights than the great hymns we have in the newer music. And so everybody should be not just listening to music and not even just singing it, but over the course of time, having a lot of the lyrics of those songs in their hearts and minds. When I wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes my mind just starts singing, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, how great thou art. It's a tremendous help to us emotionally to internalize songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, as it says in the New Testament.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I mean, when we're waking up and thinking of those songs, those help us through difficult seasons. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. When those things are songs are ringing in our heads, the thing I've also found is as we make those part of our day and sing them out loud, they become part of our children's day also. Our child will be singing those back to us at times when we don't forget it. When we might be forgetting it, I guess. Mm-hmm. They can become part of your family's soundtrack also, I think, and that's important too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I love newer music. The problem with it is it doesn't have the kind of lifespan that the older hymns had as I was growing up.
Yeah.
And when you sing Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, when you're 5, when you're 10, when you're 15, when you're 20, when you're 30, when you're 40, you sing it when you're 50, there are some hymns that last a lifetime, then they really become embedded in your mind. There are some newer songs that I think should last through the ages. It's just that we go through them so quickly.
Yeah.
But these are the songs that end up becoming embedded in our hearts and my children now are grown, but they are teaching their children and singing with their children the same songs that I sang with them and that we played on the radio and with our soundtracks back when they were little. And some of those are the great hymns. My children love newer music, but they also love the great hymns of the faith because we just had them on the radio and played them in the house. It is so important for, I would say, regulating a person's emotional health to have these songs in their hearts. And that was the secret for Paul and Silas in their prison cell.
Well, finally, Robert, as we kind of wrap up our time with you, for those who are walking through that difficult season right now, maybe currently struggling, what do you want them to hear?
Well, I've gone through difficult times. My wife, Katrina, is in heaven. She battled multiple sclerosis, and I was a caregiver for many years. And going through all of that and then the grief process, nothing is easy in life. Life has always been more difficult than I thought it was. But the book of Philippians says, the Lord is near. Therefore, do not be worried about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And that little phrase, with thanksgiving, is such a key. We can look around in any given situation and find that God has sprinkled many blessings, even amid the period of suffering we're having. And if we'll focus on those blessings and be thankful for them and accentuate the positive, the Holy Spirit helps us to have that song in our heart.
I don't know if you had any work in picking the cover, but the fact that there's a guy on top of a rock, right, looking up, he's getting to climb down. On that rock also, there's a tree. That tree's staying there. And through all the wind and the storms and everything else that tree has to, the root system that fought its way through that rock to stand there, that's really, the guy's impressive. The tree is very impressive, I think. And that really is what you're talking about here. Our roots have to be so dug deep down into the rock that is Christ that nothing can blow us over. And that's what we're learning as we work through Philippians. So thank you so much for your time this morning. This has been a very good conversation, but I think just the start of a conversation because there's so much we can learn as we read through this book. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you both, and God bless you.
Mm-hmm. For more information, just head to our website. We've got a link to Robert's website and also this book at ericandbridget.org.